Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 15th. Yes, it's the day after, and if you forgot, you know you forgot. 46th day of the new year, President's Day. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby.
Well, hopefully I'm not in a lot of hot water from not being as romantic as I should yesterday.
Which hot water could be a hot tub, too.
Yeah.
Don't think so?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I sent you that little reminder then last week.
But it is delightful to see you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right up there with romance, isn't it?
Unrelated topics.
Thank you very much. okay, so where was your Seneca quote? You told it and you slid it to me, and I've got like a half page here.
It was the first one under genius.
Oh.
Genius.
Yeah, yeah. Our quote this morning from Seneca, sometime around the year 62. Wow. Isn't that kind of like weird?
That was almost before I was born.
Well, I'm thinking there were people who saw Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is. I hadn't thought of it that
way. Yeah, yeah. Quote, there's no great genius without a touch of dementia.
Which means there is hope for us.
Yes, yes. I'm overly qualified.
You genius, you.
Those weird, yeah. Hey, what do you mean by that, man? Since we're on a day the market is shut down, there's been a ton of volatility in the last little bit. Up 300, off 400 a couple of times. Life goes on. And it's been intriguing for me. What kind of impact do you see in whether it's the Fed rates, whether it's the overall attitude, impacts on Main Street, whatever we want to look at, with the concept of stock market volatility to this extent? You know, it used to go down 20 points, and you'd think that the world was caving in. And now it's going off 400. And it was an active day on the stock market today. I'm hoping it's not revisionism. So what impacts does this have day to day, week to week in the country?
Well, in my humble opinion, the greatest impact is on consumer confidence. And that hits in two arenas. If you think the economy is slowing down and doing poorly, you will behave one way, but also if your portfolio just took a dive, then you know you have another set of concerns, all of which translate into consumer confidence and consumer spending, and potentially investment.
So it's on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly basis, on an overall gut sense basis?
Well, certainly not on a day-to-day basis, but overall. You know, when we saw the stock market crash substantially in, was it 2007, 2008, you know, a lot of people stopped spending because, you know, they had seen their retirement, some of them, their earning assets drop substantially. And, you know, you start thinking, oh, I better save for retirement because a lot of mine just disappeared.
But did that really prove out?
Oh,
have
absolutely.
You guys seen passbook savings go up or savings in some of the various instruments? Has it gone up?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's called intermediation, if you want a big word. So banks are intermediaries. So we stand between the ultimate investment and the investor. And we'll talk a little
kinda,
bit more about
that. Kind of sounds
this.
Like the vice to me, but yeah. We'll find out when we come back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. John, looking at where the stock market is and the impacts into the economy. You had indicated that there was a little bit of a situation where people are kind of in a tweener. You know, they move one way and it has this impact. You move another way, it has this impact. But the banks and financial institutions are in the middle of it all. Is it a lineal in the middle of?
Well, we get in the middle if you choose us to. So let me explain that. So a bank is an intermediary in which we stand behind between the investment, which in this case, generally for most banks, is a borrower, and the depositor. So the depositor doesn't have any risk, but they also get a smaller return. So it's safer than if they were to invest directly to the borrower. So now, if you disintermediate, which means you remove the intermediary, you then invest directly, and that's the stock market for a large group of people.
Or venture capital.
Could be.
Okay.
You know, but
the same,
that you're,
same scenario.
Exactly. If you're investing directly to the company, well, you have higher potential returns, but you also have a downside. You don't lose money in your savings account or your CD or your checking account, your money market account. You lose money if you're in equities. So with that said, when the market drops substantially, there's what's called a flight to safety. And so people pull money out of the stock market because they're afraid of losing any more, and they put it into safe investments, one of which is, of course, a depository account.
Or like bonds, some of the municipal-backed.
Correct.
So during times of volatility, oftentimes that's perceived as risky period. Yeah, you can go up. But yeah, you can overshoot and come down pretty hard too.
Sure. There was a number of people that when the market went way up, because it almost tripled since the recession, got out.
Of 1932?
Yeah. a lot of people got out and went back into cash assets because they assumed it would come down. But with that said, you know, the daily volatility makes people I guess concerned over the stability of their lives with stock market. So they might pull out and go with safer investments.
So when we had the real estate and the tech bubbles, were those niche specific? Do you see niche specific risk volatility now? That's impacting the economy, or is this just kind of an overall, the New York Stock Exchange was up X or was down Y?
Generally, the market moves with certain pieces of news. And oftentimes, it moves opposite you would think it was, because, you know, they might get some bad news, but they were expecting worse news.
Yeah, the hedging. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so the bad news was already priced in the market. So it could be a good day. I mean, it gets crazy, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I obviously don't play the market much, being the conservative banker. But we do kind of keep an eye on it, where it's going and so forth.
That's right. You owe Vegas, don't you?
Yeah.
So how does that then translate onto Main Street? Do consumers in local town, USA, really change their buying patterns based on financial news of the moment?
When it impacts them directly, and again, this is my opinion, is when it impacts them directly, absolutely.
Okay, you've invested heavy in B of A.
Yeah.
Okay, B of A goes up. Okay, now do you go stupid crazy running around buying furs for every person that you know? I haven't heard of that.
Right, but if I'm on the fence on whether I'm going to spend on a new washer or dryer, and my investment portfolio just increased by 20%, I'm feeling a little more comfortable. But if my...
Not that you're going to sell and realize those profits.
But you
just
have
an
more
overall
wealth.
Sense.
You have a
of
feeling
confidence.
Of greater wealth. And so the same thing happens if it goes the other way. Even though You know, if the stock market goes down, you actually only lose it if you sell. You still have that feeling of, well, it's psychological, a feeling of wealth has deteriorated.
You stole my thunder for the next question.
I'm sorry.
It's like housing value. It doesn't matter to you buy or sell. In between, you know, unless you're working a note or you're looking to pull some equity out, okay, fine. You know, I'd personally rather live in a $10,000 home than a $10 million home. Because the taxes are a whole lot less. Yeah, until it comes time to liquidate, who cares, right? But it's the mind that's at work here. So how do you build confidence if you are self-confidence in one of these situations where things are going up and down, or at least insulate yourself so you're not driving yourself crazy, either going hog wild or not spending anything at all?
So you had a number of different mindsets, but we'll talk about two specific ones dealing with equity in your home. With the market declining as much as it did after the real estate bubble, you had people that they were upside down their homes. Some wanted to get out of that situation so badly, they took some drastic measures. Others wrote it out and didn't worry about it.
Some took a hit. So I suppose it just depends on your attitude then. You know, are you a risk avoider
or risk embracer? Well, and many didn't take a hit. They made somebody else take a hit.
I see. That's the bank dude talking.
There you go.
You know, and I saw right through that to the core. That must be a sign of my genius. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to talk shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, the concept of consumer confidence, is it ethereal? It's real, it's palpable, but is it still ethereal, or can you measure it somehow?
Well, it is measured, I think, by surveys.
But you're saying that you're confident, and me using the same word have different meanings because we're different. So
really?
I hope so. I'm pretty positive about
this one. That's very comforting, by the way.
So to use a word like that is one thing. To define the actions or to monitor the activities, I think is probably more reflective, really, of what
So when I think of consumer confidence, it's my ability, do I feel comfortable going out and spending a little extra money on something that I might not have to spend money on.
So discretionary purchases.
Correct. Do I buy a new car this year? Do I limp this one along for another year? Do I need a new washer and dryer? Can I just have this one fixed?
Does purchase price have anything to do with that also? I mean, you're saying, let's say, purchasing a Lamborghini, because I know that's in your wish list.
It's not, because I wouldn't fit in it.
Well, no,
we're cars that I could actually get into.
We're customizing our Lamborghini here for you. Yeah. Take it down to Counts Customs in Vegas. They'll fix you up.
Yeah. Okay.
So you've got that, and that's your confidence. That's your reflection of confidence. For me, it might be going out for dinner for a steak.
Okay. Correct. Same thing.
Across the board, it has nothing to do with the purchase point. Or how much investment or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, it's all relative to the individual. So somebody of great wealth, it's do I buy a new Mercedes this year or do I drive the two-year-old one for another year? For other people is, do I actually go out and, do I buy a new bicycle for my kids? It's all relative. But the point being is, overall, the population, as consumer confidence rises, consumer spending rises, the economy gets a bump.
So how does that contrast then with getting a pay raise. Just the magnitude, you know, the entire community is feeling this way versus an individual?
That's an intriguing question. My first assumption and is that, yes, it would be very similar. If you got a pay raise, you might go out and buy that car you were...
Or the bicycle.
Right, or yeah. Whatever it is that, you know, new television, you know, getting cable TV, something you don't currently have that now you feel you can afford.
Which then results in the same thing. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of get there in a different fashion.
Yeah. It'd be great if everybody got a 10% raise this year. Then we'd all be more confident.
So with the minimum wage increase, did California see that bump in the first quarter?
The problem with the minimum wage increase is that you have to take the money. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So the money had to come from somewhere. So it's either through increased prices, reduced profits, are the two primary places that that's going to come from. If you increase prices, if you give everybody 10% increase in wage, but you give a 10% increase in all expenditures, you've got a net zero gain.
But you've got, let's say if you've got a staff of 1,000 in this scenario, and they're all minimum wage just for simplicity's sake, you got 100 people or 1,000 people who have just seen a bump.
That is correct.
But that's offset by?
Somewhere somebody's paying for that, so their consumer confidence just went down.
So let's say we had 1,000 who got the increase, and we had 100 who were laid off. You got a net plus of 900 people, same dollars.
Well, no, what I'm saying is...
Is that enough to do anything other than just be balanced?
Well, instead of talking about the number of people, let's talk about the dollars. So let's say okay. that we've got $100,000 more in wages that are going to go out to a group of employees. Well, that's $100,000 less that the owners have to spend. So you're just shifting it. Not that that's bad, but that's what you're doing. There's no net gain right. in revenue and purchasing power by shifting, by increasing the minimum wage. Now, if you increase the productivity of those employees,
that's
a whole different twist. Now you can pay them more and retain. You know, there is a net gain there,
or a decreased loss.
Correct. Exactly.
Gee, I was correct. That's cool.
It could happen because actually, after reading the definition of a genius,
it could happen. Yes,
I think you're there.
So, does inflation do the same thing?
Inflation, it depends on whether your income is keeping up with inflation. Now, if you're a debtor, inflation's a good thing because I'm going to pay for my past sins or my debts with inflated money. So I'm actually getting a discount on the repayment because of inflation. But it hurts those people that are on fixed incomes because now items that they need are more expensive, yet their income is not keeping up with it. So inflation generally is very harmful to the majority of the population.
So why is deflation also?
Deflation does the opposite, and it makes lenders, which actually is a good thing, isn't that? Lenders are now getting repaid with dollars that are more valuable than the ones they lent out. But deflation has a whole number of other economic problems to it. Deflation generally means that we're not growing the economy. You're going to see fewer jobs. I mean, just across the board, it gets pretty ugly. And that's why the Fed is targeting a 2% inflation rate. They don't want too much, but they don't want zero.
So that's kind of the sweet spot.
2% is where, if it goes above 2%, they will start fighting it. There's two issues they look at right now, employment and inflation, before they're going to raise rates. And so those are the two elements they're looking at.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the Bank Dude. John, looking at the concepts of some of these basic economic things we've talked about, do you feel confident that people are learning or understanding or grasping the basics of the economic or of economics now? Because of some of these things that have been going on, whether it's inflation, deflation, whether it's cost of money, boom, bust, stock market numbers, stock shareholding, any of that kind of stuff? Is there any glimmer of hope that we're becoming just even a smidge more knowledgeable about financial processes?
I certainly get the sense that people are more aware now than they were before. Now, I don't know if that's because of my age and that I'm hanging out with people that are getting closer to retirement, because once retirement wasn't such a big deal when I was 20.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that weren't a big deal when I was 20. You know, like lifting,
like you and me, for example.
Yeah. Or like lifting stuff, you know. Yeah. It's amazing how gravity has increased over these years. I can't lift as much. I can't jump as high. I can't lift my leg as high. You know, just it's gravity has increased.
Yes.
With that said, I think I'm hanging around people that are closer to retirement, and so they're obviously more aware of not only the stock market but what various other investments are doing as they're trying to prepare themselves for retirement. And certainly there's a lot of insecurity in the stock market long term.
Is the business community paying more attention to the stock market than it has historically?
Most of the business community is looking at specific markets that impact their business more directly, such as interest rates, maybe money exchange rates for foreign currencies.
It's not pork belly futures for the restaurateur. They're looking at, you know, what's coming in the mail today.
To a larger degree. So, interest rates have a big impact on the ability to lend and repay and to expand and to build new business.
Whether or not they choose to opt for that choice or not, it's all theirs, yes. Some of this stuff is starting to register because I are now a genius.
Yeah. Do we have time to read the quote again from Seneca?
You got 15 seconds. I think you can do it.
There is no great genius without a touch of dementia.
Yes.
We qualify.
So for all you great geniuses out there, have a great President's Day. We'll see you tomorrow.